back with another episode of the 443 Podcast. Happy 60th episode, Reese.
Big numbers, another milestone, hopefully 100, or sorry, 60 more to come with you guys. Well,
no, let's do 40, another 40, let's hit 100. I think that's a big one to hit.
Big weekend of games, guys, with some big results, title implications, top four implication games, huge games. Matt, let's jump right into it.
Oh, so first one we're going to cover is Manchester United 2, Brentford 1. Manchester United got their second win of the season against a pretty informed Brentford. And Brentford, to me, kind of just played like they had against all these other teams. Manchester United had to step it up. They looked more cohesive to me. It was good to see Garnacho getting back on the scoreboard. I don't remember if he beautiful scored goal this season.
It was a beautiful goal, though.
And Højlund, has he scored this season? I don't believe he has either. It was good to see the two young guns get back on the score sheet.
I may be wrong, guys, but that may be either the first or second time we've seen Højlund this season. I think he had an injury that kept him out for a little bit. But I'm with you, Matt. This was a good United performance. It was definitely almost a game of two halves. You know what I didn't like? The color contrast between these two teams.
Yeah, it was a little odd.
Like, Brentford had, a reddish-pinkish, and then obviously United rocking the red. Terrible.
Well, and they counted it as pink because it's not red, but it really, it kind of made it gave me the ick, when Arsenal played Liverpool a while back, and Liverpool was in purple, and Arsenal was in their all-white kits, was in, the FA Cup.
Just didn't match up well.
Yeah, it just made me want to vomit. Just this one wasn't that bad, but it was pretty rough.
I will say, though, I just wonder how United will sustain this form going into their next game when we get into the predictions. I do think there was some holes still with this team, but Brentford just failed to
capitalize. They looked better. And let's talk about the first goal that Brentford scored. So Brentford didn't get their normal score within the first, 5 minutes. What they had to do is they had to wait until 45 plus 5 when De Ligt had to go off for a head injury. And I saw a couple of Manchester United fans saying that they should have just stopped game. And I go, that's not the rules. That's what I'm saying. Brentford didn't lose any steps. They were still playing like their same old Brentford team. It just took them an entire quarter to be able to get the goal in and a man down temporarily.
Do you think with that goal should have, or do you think De Ligt should have been allowed on the field for that play? Because he was ready to come on. Was, that was sort of the debate.
Dude, you see the blood coming off his face? He looked like Rick. He looked like
but he was ready
level
to,
one Ric Flair.
He was ready to come back on the field, though, but they weren't allowing it because it was a set-piece play.
Yeah.
So that's why United was very pissed before going into halftime as well.
Those are the rules.
Yeah.
How do I put this, man? They didn't lose anything for it.
Oh, yeah. No. It's just my thing is, especially this weekend, the refereeing, again, just questionable.
It's just, we'll get to it in the next two games, where there was something that happened in both of the next two big games, and one was punished extreme, and the other wasn't punished at all. And it's I want consistency. That's just me, but it was interesting to see Manchester United fans getting all hyped up for their second win of the season.
It's their third win of the season.
Oh, third, my bad.
But I'm with you.
So was it their first win at Old Trafford or something like that?
Possibly. Okay. Possibly. But I will say, though, Matt, they are now 1 point ahead of Brentford with that win. So they
because Bournemouth got the win at Arsenal, they only moved up one spot instead of two. They were going from 12th to 10th, and then because Bournemouth got 3 points, they only went to 11th. Right. So they're still in the bottom half of the table.
I do think with the
And I do think Saliba will look good in a red kit when he goes to Manchester United.
We'll get to you guys. Have some patience, my friend.
Oh, I'm just making a joke about that guy who sends you his videos, that clowny Manchester United fan. I know you hate him.
I don't like him at all. Xerxes is a very raw product, as I said he would be coming into the season. He did have a couple missed opportunities where it feels like if he's here for another season, if the United fans are patient with him, there's a player there. And I feel like he would pair up really well with Højlund and eventually get some starts along with him, at least in that false nine position, and maybe have Højlund right in front of him for more of a poaching. But I like this performance from United. I don't think this would win against any sort of top 10 team right now. I don't think it's a win that they should be proud of for a team of this stature. But they've needed this for a long time.
They needed it. And that's more what it looked like. You could see a team. I remember when I watched them play earlier this season and there was no team.
Yeah.
There looked like there was the seeds of a team.
You saw some sort of identity with this group.
It wasn't a good identity.
But it was an identity.
It looks like somebody with a credit score in the 600s.
Like a 715. 715. Because, hey, in the auto loan industry, guys, I used to work for the auto loan industry. If you're above like a 750, you are the average human score, actually. Surprise, surprise.
So
800 above is like you're the top of the echelon.
Huh.
If, to the people who don't live in America, lucky you, because it's what our life is based off of, unfortunately.
It really sucks. You have to buy cars, rent apartments. It sucks. Like, I have a great credit score because I had to, but now that I'm like, I got my car, I got my house, might just say fuck it.
Exactly.
I'm in the 823, 850. It constantly goes up and down. I can go down to 750. I'll get it back.
Yeah. So United, you guys are on your way up in your credit score lives. We hope it continues for you guys. Credit to United, Brentford.
I think they're just out in this between 750 and 700.
I gotcha. With Brentford, I think they can just swipe this game off and continue to move on. They're in good form this
season.
They played
at their level this entire season. I haven't seen them drop off from it. I've seen them get unlucky, but as soon as Man United took their foot off the gas, they got something. Yeah. They can hold their head with pride and walk on to the next one. Perfect. Ready to go to the next game?
Into the next one here, guys. We have Bournemouth at home at the Cherry Playhouse, defeating Arsenal 2-0 in a huge upset with title implications. But Matt, the drama starts in the 30th minute where Saliba is given a red card. And basically what happened, guys, I don't specifically remember who played the through ball, but Evan Nielsen was making a run onto a ball where he was held up by Saliba, who was the last man for Arsenal. So it was originally deemed a yellow, which was then VAR reviewed by a guy in the stands who I thought...
No, it wasn't him. He was listening to a feed. That would just point out that he was the PGML head.
Oh, okay. I was like, what the hell is like... Why is he doing this decision?
No, so he's listening to the public feed or something. I guess you can get to it on a truck if you want to. I'm going to listen to it now. But he was the head of PGML and he was there, but the decision wasn't made by him in the stands. Yeah, no.
They panned to him like while the VAR review is going on. He's like talking. I'm like, oh god, what is
he's just listening to the guy squawk in the box in the van.
Anyways, guys, VAR deemed it a red card. Matt, let's start here. Do you think it was a red card?
Yes, but there's like an Arsenal social media. There's like people who are saying like he was offsides or so. I think it was a red. I was hoping he would get away with the yellow.
I texted you this. I was like, I think it's a red, but it's not a one-game suspension red. Like, it is.
Well, it's a three-game suspension red now.
That's right.
He's going to be out for Newcastle, Liverpool, and another game.
Chelsea? I think we play you guys in the next few games.
Yeah, I think it's Chelsea.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And that. So, I was texting you today because I agree with Goldbridge. I think we're still in the title race, but I think we don't have any control on it now. If we win every game, we have to count on one of the other two teams dropping points.
But that's the thing, guys, or in my opinion, these other teams are looking like they're going to drop points.
Liverpool didn't look perfect against you.
And we'll talk about City as well. City are needing Rodri, which Rodri's not coming back, and I think that's a huge problem for City. So we'll get to them, but I feel like you guys are in the title race as much as the other teams. I don't think it's just a matter about dropping points. It's about sustaining your form through these injuries.
I just don't know when the players are going to come back, and that's what worries me. We got Marino back, but Marino, like, he hasn't played a game
He's going to be rusty.
Yeah, he hasn't played a game in 10 weeks because he's just gone two international breaks, and this is the eighth week of the season, so that's 10 weeks, right? He hadn't played a full game.
So he's going to show some rust. It's going to take a few games for him to get into form. What I did like was Ethan Wanneri.
Wanneri, yes.
Got a friend who tells me that the silent N is a thing. So, Wanneri, you know what I'm saying?
Wanneri.
I thought he looked good. I think there is something that maybe you should be giving him a little bit more playtime, I think. Especially in this team that has Declan Rice, Marino, and Partey. Was that the starting midfield, I believe?
Marino, Rice, and Partey.
That's a lot of size, and you had a lot of size behind you. Pause. I feel like you could squeeze in Wanneri into that Odegaard role, maybe going forward. I know it's a huge ask for a 17-year-old player, games as well.
So what I've learned from observing Arteta is I think what he wanted to do is he wanted to make it so it's a one swap. Mm-hmm. The whole starting 11's there, and he just switched Odegaard for Wanneri.
I gotcha. Now
I think he would feel a lot more comfortable having, that dynamic than this crusty Arsenal team we saw that's like missing so much top talent that is like it finally caught up with them.
I'm gonna rant real quick, Matt.
Okay, rant away, sir.
And I hate doing this because I do hate Arsenal as a real biased person, but I am non-biased on the show. So what I will say is, yes, to the main media, you guys are fucking losers calling Arsenal like doing the dark arts and that bunch of bullshit. When you guys go to 10 men, you are legally required to try and sustain some sort of point or salvage something. If you... Let me cook.
Oh, no, I'm just agreeing with you. Oh, okay. I'm Flavor Flavin' you, dog. I have something to say after this, but I'm Flavor Flavin' you.
Thank you.
Get it, Reese.
Thank you, sir.
Get him.
I'm just tired of the media in having this reactionary sort of response to, like, for example, the City game and now this game. Oh, you guys are down. You guys are not even trying to attack against Bournemouth. Guys, Bournemouth are a good side. People, they're such an underrated
team. They got memories
team.
Of a goldfish, dog.
It's crazy. So like,
They are a top 10 team right now, exactly. And they have only lost like teams that are above them in the table. Arsenal's our first team they won above them in the table.
If Solanke was in this group, you can argue this is a top 8 team.
Yeah.
So it's like, you guys need...
I think Solanke is... Well, we haven't seen it yet. Yeah. He's better for Bournemouth than he was for Spurs.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll have to...
It'll probably change.
Right,
but.
For sure. But I just, guys, you need to understand football, play football, understand that going down to 10 men is really hard to sustain, salvage any sort of point at all.
And I know they don't have the same perspective because they don't watch these games as in-depth as some of the fans do.
Yep.
Like, I see this all the time on FanCast for, like, Manchester United, Newcastle, Arsenal, Chelsea, where they're trying to shotgun everything kind of like we do, but they also record, like, they're doing it live on TV. We have time to... simmer in the thoughts. And in this game, you and me both agreed there was a 50% chance of a draw, 25% chance that Bournemouth wins, and 25% chance that Arsenal wins.
Yep, there was,
and that literally looked like what it was going to be until Saliba got off.
Yeah, both teams had plenty of opportunities, scoring chances. It just happened to go Bournemouth's way after the red card.
After 30 really minutes, like, the Arsenal were less than 1xG. They're right, they didn't attack, but they were literally down like to... just trying to scrap a point.
Penalty was surefire, right? I think.
Oh, yeah.
Three. Okay, cool.
No, that was a penalty. Yep. And, you know, and then that Ryan Christie goal was like...
Yeah. Chef's kiss.
Yeah, it was... For sure. Bournemouth played great. Yeah. I'm not mad about losing to Bournemouth. I'm mad that we have our Saliba gone for 3 games. Yeah. And he deserved it. We don't ever get any benefit of the doubt, this Arsenal team.
And from one...
We get the harshest penalties, I think.
For sure. And from one controversial refereeing game to another, into the last big game we'll be covering, guys, we have Liverpool at home defeating Chelsea 2-1 at Anfield. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
So I actually thought this was refereed fairly.
Okay.
Do you disagree with me on that?
Entirely.
Okay.
And
because I thought
first.
You guys, it could have been 3-1 when you guys were playing. Like, it should have been 3-1 Chelsea, not 3-1 Liverpool. I thought they did a good job. I mean, when... that similar tackle happened where I think it was Nunez tackled that guy, and it could have been a red. It wasn't really given.
Yeah. The missed calls were in the midfield a lot. Like, Caicedo had a lot of on-ball tackles that were actually clean, that the ref went the other way. And also, and this is, I'm not saying this is just for Chelsea. I think it's both sides it was refed horribly. There was a possession towards the end of the game where Liverpool was into the final third about to be in the box, and they lost the possession, immediately gained it back, but they called a foul on the Liverpool player. I don't remember who it was. And then there was a penalty on Sancho. I think that wasn't called. And plenty of reviews showed that Trent Alexander stepped on Sancho. I don't think the first penalty was a penalty either. If you look at the replay, Curtis Jones steps on Colwill. Colwill does not step on Curtis Jones. But Matt, outside of that, I do want to say this game was entertaining in the fact that, and we talked about this
pre-show. Yeah. I wanted to bring it up, but you're bringing it up for me, so do it.
People saying Enzo Maresca was out-coaching Arne Slot. Arne Slot was deep in out-coaching Enzo Maresca, and I think people need to understand that Liverpool actually respected Chelsea in this game and were willing to let them have possession. They were structured. They defended really well. And they took their chances when they had the windows too, but they were definitely cautious this game.
They treated you like a big game opponent. I haven't seen Slot play Arsenal yet, but he lined up and played in a way that Klopp used to against when he played Arsenal recently and City when that title race in City recently too.
And the reason for that is because we're used to Liverpool being a high pressing team. Liverpool tried that in like the first 3 minutes of the game
and realized they couldn't do it.
It didn't work. And I love that Arne Slot did that and made that adjustment because it neutralized Cole Palmer.
Yeah.
It neutralized Sancho, where it forced Enzo Maresca to make
changes. You mean Light Ice Palmer?
Light Ice Palmer, yeah. And it was his worst game in a Chelsea shirt. Yeah, and it happens.
Yeah, it happens. So everyone has bad games. Yeah. But honestly, man, I don't think either man outcoached the other.
Yeah.
I think it was on the slimmest margins. I think Maresca originally outsmarted Slot, forcing Slot to change. He was able to find ways to do it, but he wasn't able to, the finest of margins, stop Chelsea from winning this game via ref or just sheer angles of the defenders that Liverpool had to prevent good chances from becoming chances.
Chelsea's weakness in this game was no Cucurella.
Cucurella!
Thank you, thank you. If you look at this Chelsea team, there's so much lack of experience where Cucurella is like the one player. He's only 24 or 25, but he is the most experienced
player.
But
he's been playing top-flight football since he was in his teens, right?
Exactly. And he's been in this Chelsea team now just as long as the...
Because he was playing in La Liga before he came to...
Right. And he's been Bully's like first signing. So he's the longest-serving person outside of like Reece James and those guys. But I think... And you have to go against Salah... I don't know if Cucurella would have succeeded in his job, but it could have at least helped the result for Chelsea.
Cucurella is only 24?
Or 25, I think.
Okay.
But
oh man, guy looks like he's 30 with three kids and a mortgage.
I think he does have a couple kids, but man of the matches for both teams, I will say.
Like a mortgage you can't afford. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Well, he doesn't look like the type of guy that, you know. Never mind.
He like has a mortgage where it's like it's $200 more than he wants to pay.
His credit score is not looking that good.
Yeah. Like he can make his bills, but he's just not...
Check to check.
Not thriving. Check to check. Yeah.
Caicedo...
He wants to impress a girl.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Caicedo was the best player on the field for Chelsea, and Curtis Jones was the best player on the field for Liverpool. But this was a fun game to watch tactically. And Liverpool has a very big match coming up, and I'm very excited because I think this is their first true title test.
I thought you were their first true title test.
I think we were their first top four test. I don't think Chelsea's at that point where we had respect from Liverpool, but at the same time, I think Arne Slot will make another adjustment for you guys.
Okay.
We'll cover that in that.
You ready to jump in the next game? You ready to go just in order and go over them quick?
Let's get into these reviews, guys. All the way back to Saturday morning, right? There's no Friday game?
Nope.
Oh, cool.
That's next week.
Cool. We have Tottenham at home beating the dog shit out of West Ham 4-1.
London Derby.
Yes. And I think this was game.
Should I call this the lesser London Derby?
Oh, come on. The Hammer's got a European trophy. Spurs, though.
They have a European trophy.
And when?
Like pre-1960.
Thank you. Who was on that team?
Well, but here's the thing. If everyone counts like AC Milan's titles Nottingham Forest titles and they haven't done anything in like this, you know, the second half of the 20th century, then you have to give Spurs their credit.
Spurs, you have a European
Spurs
trophy.
Now, to be fair, I don't think they've had a European trophy or a championship since the color TV's been invented in the UK. Sorry, guys. I'm sticking up for you, but I'm also good.
Let alone sound on the TVs. You know,
the sound was always on the TV. They might have had them running through the radio, but...
What I will say, though, in this
I remember game, my dad told me growing up in the UK, he said that at some points you had to run your sound on your TV through the radio.
Before we get into the game, Matt, did you see Kudus go full MMA style UFC
dude,
on everybody?
You've seen that meme of him where like that guy at the kid's birthday party slapping everybody? That he was like that Kudus versus Percy. Ryan Papp. Bill Papp.
I didn't think he had this side to him. I thought he was like more of a respectful player.
I love when he sits down.
And his goal celebration.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He scores a goal. You know, he had a decent performance. Dude, he was on smoke for this Spurs side, man.
I don't know. Like, I watched the recap of this game because I wanted to see what happened because I saw the memes. And he was just like... Like, he turned into Drago. Like, he dies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, but I had to ask you that real quick. But into the game itself, 4-1 domination. I think Kulusevski was their best player. He looked really good. But this game was a game of two halves. What did you think about the game?
From what I watched, it literally looked like Spurs just came out of the gate in the second half, made adjustments, and just ripped them apart.
A Bostakoglu special.
Yeah, and they just weren't ready for it. Seal clapper. I'm going to call him that.
There you go.
Sorry. No respect to no disrespect to Bostakoglu.
That was crazy. That was just funny. into the next game, guys.
I hope he stops doing that so I can use that as an insult to people in my everyday life. Like, what's up with Seal Clapper?
Fulham at home, losing to Aston Villa 3-1. I think we both picked Fulham wins for this game.
Yeah, but to be fair, Villa didn't look that great.
Yep.
I watched pieces of this game, and Villa won because of that. Basically what happened right around that red card.
Yeah.
To me, this should have been a 2-2 draw. The teams were pretty evenly matched, but fortunately, once they got that red card, then Villa's size and experience just overwhelmed Fulham.
This game was physical. I don't know. Again, a lot of red cards here.
Dude, this is the weekend of red cards. Yeah. Did you see how many games have red cards? I think it's like five.
Five of the ten.
I think half the games had red cards.
You could argue Chelsea should have had a red card as well with the same sort of incident as Saliba, which we didn't talk about. But
we kind of mentioned it in passing on both games.
It's just crazy refereeing, but crazy, crazy weekend as well, I guess.
Well, like we'll see Leicester, man. I think there was a double red in that one. Yeah.
Well, let's go into it right now. So we got Southampton, who is up 2-0, losing to Leicester 3-2. This was only one red card, by the way. But late 90.
One game has a double red.
Yeah. A late 98th minute Jordan Ayew goal for Leicester. Matt, what was your thoughts on this game?
I can't believe Jamie Vardy's still taking pennies. I've been letting other people take them. But this looked like one of those games where Arsene Wenger would throw on like all the attackers. It just looked like both teams just said, hey, we got to get some points in this game. Let's just go all out. And it was really good old-fashioned, like...
proper English football.
Well...
Barclays?
Yeah. I'm going to say, like, early 2000s proper football, not like the 1970s where it was just long ball specials.
Southampton, we are still waiting for your first win of the season. That was the opportunity for you. Again, I think they're a good coach side. Like, they play well.
This should have been a 2-2 draw, but they had one... that little bit of Jamie Vardy experience, sometimes you have to respect veteran talent.
Yeah. Credit to Leicester on this one and Steve Cooper as well. Into the next game here, guys, we have Newcastle at home losing to the Brighton Seagulls 1-0. Danny Welbeck again at 47,000 years of age. And he's looking like prime.
Is he only like 29?
You know, dude, he's been in the league for so long. I couldn't tell you how old he is. Is he like the Raheem Sterling of strikers?
Yeah, I think he's like, I think he's not as like that old.
He's 33. It's a veteran.
But he ages like
fine wine.
Yeah,
fine wine for sure.
He's so soft spoken. Even though I know he's over 25, he always just looks like a 25-year-old to me.
I have a question for you, man.
Okay, hit me up.
Brighton lose manager De Zerbi last season. Brighton bring in Hertzler, young, good looking, clean shape, but sometimes has a stubble. Beats the dog piss out of this Newcastle team just now. They still have Eddie Howe as their manager. When are we going to move on from
I've
the
never
Eddie
heard Howe? A 1-0 is just kind of just beating the dog piss out of somebody. Like, I didn't watch this game. Was it a boxing match?
Newcastle played well. They had opportunities. I think Isaac had a goal.
I know you just don't like Newcastle.
No, it's not that I don't like Newcastle. Okay. I'm not a fan of where they're at as a team right now.
Me and Rebecca Lowe all think that Eddie should have moved on in the summer, or they're making plans to move him on this summer.
Yeah.
They need to step up a little bit in the coaching department to make that next step, especially since who knows how this financial stuff is going to play out. But City might be opening the door to their own doom by fighting to keep their dominance and not realizing that there's a bull mastiff ready to just go, oh, we can spend unlimited money? Woo! Like Gronk is ready to come in and just start spiking at a party. Like, you think you have a chance with a girl? And then Gronk rolls in. It ain't working for you.
Newcastle actually played pretty decent. I mean,
the sheer disrespect. Like, I thought I was disrespectful by calling people seal clappers. You're just like, beat the dog piss out of this Newcastle side.
Sorry, Newcastle fans. It's been a long day today. What I will say, though, is Brighton.
We've never had a download from Newcastle. We've had downloads from other parts of the UK. We never had one from Newcastle. So
maybe this is why.
I mean, if a Jordy came up to me, I would know he's insulting me till he punched me.
Credit to Brighton
I don't even know how we talk about
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, guys. Sorry.
Into the next game here, guys. We have a relegation fight again. We have Ipswich losing 2-0 to Everton.
Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
Ipswich made my mom sad. She was in her little Ipswich scarf, and Dad showed me when they sent me a picture of her from the side when that Ndidi goal, the first goal.
Ndaye
goal went in, and she's just like, no, and threw her scarf on the ground. I was like, ah.
That's sad, man. I do like Ndaye as well. He's looked like the one bright spark for this Everton team.
Have we both made each other cry today? Like, cry laugh?
I had a yawn just now, but I'll associate it with the laugh.
But, I mean, I don't want Everton to go down because they're one of the OG, you know, the original Big Six member that's kind of fallen out. But at the same time, I have family ties to Ipswich. Apparently, when I was a little kid, like, I was at some parade where they won the FA Cup.
See?
Yeah, so it's like, I don't want them to go down either, but Everton is just the better team of these two.
Yeah, what I do like, what I am happy for is Everton is that they are on their way up as a club, new ownership percentages or something like that. So hopefully we see some ambition soon from this team.
And they got the new stadium next year too.
Exactly. So credit to Everton on a big win to continue their relegation fight into the Sunday slate here. Last game of the Sunday slate into almost our last game as well.
Yeah.
We got one more after this.
Crystal Palace.
Yes. Silver.
But first, let's go over.
We got Wolves at home losing to Manchester City 2-1.
In a heartbreaker.
Before we talk about City, let's talk about Wolves. I like this Larsson guy, man. He looks really good, strong, built dude.
Yeah, and they also kind of reminded me of that Wolves that we really liked last year.
Yeah.
They showed up. Now, don't get me wrong, they did that thing where they overwhelm in the last couple minutes and just John Stone sits back and waits for the ball to fall to him.
They've had a very tough run of games as well. So
Wolves?
Yeah, I think they can get out of this rut. They've shown flashes of being the Wolves team of last year several times this season.
Now look who's come crawling back.
Just hasn't hit yet. Guys, welcome in Paco.
You might be able to hear him shaking in the background.
Matt, let's talk about Manchester City. Vardiol scored a crazy upper 90
goal.
That
was a class goal.
That was insane.
That was an epic goal.
He's a left footer shooting that on his right foot, and it was a bender.
Mm-hmm.
Insane. And then, Matt, did you think the second goal should have stood?
Do you want my no. But like I said, City always gets VAR backs them up. I've never seen something where they haven't gotten backed up by VAR. And I know some people contradict me, but it just seems like where other teams like Wolves last year and Arsenal would always seem to get the harshest and worst of VAR.
You get the feeling that City in the big calls get the favoritism there.
Yeah, and I know there's some example where they haven't gotten it, but it's been for them or stuff hasn't been counted. Like, remember when Grealish was trying to block that shot and he did a blatant handball?
Yeah.
Didn't get called. You know, it's just stuff like that where it's like, yeah, it may not have done anything, but they just seem to get refereed very well.
Yeah.
And it is kind of frustrating when you're down your best defender and you watch something like that and you're like, well, it's going to count because the City, I think you sent it to me like VAR's reviewing it before the you even, I needed to eat. I was going to go grab some breakfast. I was like, whatever. City's got this. I was outside and you're like sending me like, oh, VAR review. City's got it. And sure enough, before you could even like send it, before I sent it to you, and before, like, you were typing, and I just was like, yep, they held it. It's just, I know what was going to happen. Whenever City get a call like that, it always goes their way.
It's, for me, it's definitely a 50-50.
Now, I'm probably wrong. It's probably they get it 75% of the time.
Well, but either way, that call is a 50-50 for me. Like, Bernardo is hunched over, but if he is hunched over, is he twerking on Saw then? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a 50-50 call, really. The thing that made me think it was not, or it was a goal, was when Saw his reaction after he conceded. He did not seem like a guy that looked like he was obstructed. He looked like he conceded a goal. So I think the call was right based on his reaction, but all the angles are pointing towards there was a lot of contact there.
What I think happens with City is that when they have calls, it seems like there's one or two guys deciding every other call, but when City gets a call, two guys come from like a outside from smoke breaks and like they all brain trust it and they all point out stuff. And it seems like they get more time. Mm-hmm. Like they get more officials, more time. They just get the benefit of the doubt. And I know I'm salty, so.
It's all good, man. Credit to Manchester City and a late win to continue their title push.
Two for John Stones this season.
There you go.
All right, where are we heading next, pal?
Into today's slate, Monday slate, the very last game of our review. We have Nottingham Forest at home beating Palace 1-0. Matt, the Santos train runs on.
So for this game, I knew it was on, but I forgot it was on. I was watching like Return of the King, and then something pops up on my desktop because I have this Premier League tracker on my Windows computer for work, and it goes something about Forest. It's like, oh, going into the half. So I immediately pause it and come back to the game. And I'm like, because I had planned to watch it, but I was just like, I started watching a movie and just kind of left it on.
Chris Wood is like the vintage. I say this every week now, but he is just
classic hitting, 1970s striker.
He's just hitting on all cylinders right now. He's just a true poacher, a proper Barclays striker. Are you worried about Palace? Do you think they are still a team that can avoid relegation, or do you think they're in a relegation fight?
I think they're in a relegation fight. I am worried about them because I do like them. Yeah.
And we like the manager as well.
I am starting to worry about them, but I'm not worried.
I mean, it's
like you go, Matt, you got to bet your paycheck if on Palace to get relegated or not. I'm betting on they won't be.
I gotcha.
But they are in a fight.
Yeah. Much like Wolves at this point, they're both in a rut. They're both teams that show flashes of their talent, but not quite the finish. Credit to Forrest. That wraps our reviews. Matt, do you want to keep pushing along? Let's push it, dude.
We've only been going for 30 minutes. Let's get into the... Now it's my turn to take over.
Yes, sir. Into the predictions here, Matt. Let's go.
All right. Week 9 predictions, Friday at noon our time. We have Forrest traveling to Leicester City. What you got?
Man, it feels like these teams just played.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Nope.
I'm going to go... This is a very interesting game, actually, because Leicester have been quite good.
I think it's because Forest and Southampton have similar colors.
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm going to go with a Forest 2-1 victory, but I would not be surprised if Vardy drinks a few extra Red Bulls on a Friday night.
I'm going Forest 1-0 winner.
There you go. Chris Wood?
Probably. Yeah. I didn't think who's going to score. I just think it's going to be something. All right, now we come to the 7 a.m. Saturday slate. First up, we have Southampton traveling to the Etihad, or the El Librerico, as I call it, to face Manchester City. I got City win this 6-0. No, I actually have it on my sheet.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Like I said, I'm worried for City.
Or do you mean Hampton?
No, I'm worried for City. Oh. Long term. But right now, I think I agree with you.
I think this is the jobber match they need in pro wrestling terms. Like, they're going to like a small market and they face their champion and the champion jobs out to them.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is when you do guys run into a top 10 team, a team that has more to offer, I'm worried that you're missing Rodri.
A team that's not injury depleted that they can feel the top side.
Exactly. So I'm going to go agree with you, but I am going to go 3-0 to City.
Okay,
on this one.
Fair enough. I think it was just being hyperbolic there. All right, next up, another 7 a.m. game. We have Ipswich at Brentford. Ooh, this... I got the Bees only winning this 1-0 off their first 5 minutes goal.
Yeah, I agree. I think they just have more quality, but I would not be surprised.
And I think
Ipswich...
that trick they do where they overwhelm the teams is going to work on Ipswich. That didn't work on United.
So you got a within 5 minute goal.
Yeah, within the first 5 minutes. And then that's kind of the game just falls into rhythms after that.
Cool. I'm going to agree with you, but Ipswich are a well coached team.
No, no.
1-0 to Brentford.
I want Ipswich to win, but I just think that Thomas Frank is a little. The quality that the Bees have demonstrated all season is higher than what Ipswich has demonstrated to me all season.
For sure.
All right. Next up, we have Wolves traveling to the Seagulls to the south to face Brighton Hove Albion.
I have a feeling Wolves can do something here. I feel like they have to do something here. Like, we're reaching a point with them where they've had a tough run. The tough run continues.
The tough run continues because, like, what do you think this is going to be? Because I think it's going to be a repeat of this week's game, 2-1 to Brighton.
Oh, I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay. I hope you're right.
Yeah. I think I'm just maybe saving some hope that Wolves still have something in the tank for them.
Don't stop. All right, last game of the 7 a.m. slate. We have
Oh, God. Sorry. Go ahead. My bad. I got to work on that.
Hey, it's an earworm, man. I'm going to be humming it all night. All right, Bournemouth at Aston Villa for the last 7 a.m. game. I am putting my hopes into this. I think it's going to be 2-2.
I think
because Villa looked a little creaky, and I think Bournemouth, I'm sorry, is going to be buzzing after this weekend.
And they're a lot more disciplined than the team that they just played. Than the team that Villa just played.
You mean Fulham?
Yes, okay. Thank you. Sorry.
And Arsenal, apparently. Baddest guys around.
Yeah, seriously. The
darkest of arts.
I think Villa still find a way, only with them being at home. I think if this was a reverse fixture, I'd go the other way. But I'll go 2-1 to Villa.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so the 9:30 game. This is an interesting for the end Saturday game. Fulham at Everton.
Interesting.
Interesting pick, considering there's a couple games in the next day that you could have just flip-flopped them. This isn't interesting to be the marquee matchup of Saturday, but what do you got?
If you say a huge game tomorrow morning and it's at 4:30, I have full
right
to...
No, good news is none of the games are at 4:30 next week.
I was going to say, I have full right to deck you in the face if there was a match on that early.
Don't worry, Paco. As soon as we get done, I'll take you outside. you guys can't see him, but Paco is giving me the look.
Yes. I will give this score a 3-1 win for Everton. I think this is the coming out party for Sean Dyche.
I'm going opposite. 2-1 to the Lily Whites.
Arsenal B team.
Okay.
Sorry. No,
Emile Smith Rowe brace.
There you go.
But yeah, I think that this is going to be Fulham's time. Cool. I think that Everton might revert to old form.
I could see it. What's the next game for us, man?
All right, next we come into the Sunday slate, the 7 a.m. games. First up, Spurs.
Sunday.
Spurs versus Palace. Spurs at Crystal Palace, sorry.
There you go.
Unfortunately, I think it's going to be 3-0 to Spurs.
Breaks my heart, because last season, Palace played Spurs very well towards the end of the season with Glasner, but I think Mateta had a brace or something like that. I agree with you, Matt. 3-0 or 3-1 to Spurs.
Now, listen to the next two games. Next, we have Newcastle United Football Club visiting Stamford Bridge to play Chelsea. Both those games I just named could have been the marquee, and we still have two more games on Sunday.
I could have called for Saturday. Sorry, Newcastle fans, again, I called your manager a bitch. You know, I apologize.
Seal clapping, mother hugger.
Yeah, so I apologize. Chelsea, you know, Newcastle, great hospitality. Just take it easy on us. You know, my bad. But this is going to be a tough game, Matt, for both teams. Who do you got?
Chelsea, 2. Newcastle, 0.
It's so hard.
I believe in your boys. I believe in cold Palmer, not light iced Palmer.
The draw against Forest kind of worried me a little bit in terms of the season, not long term with Maresca or anything like that. But I'm going to go.
But Forest, I think, is now kind of what Crystal Palace was last year.
I guess, yeah.
I think that they've found their gears and they didn't lose much.
I need a big performance from Robert Sanchez if I see this team getting a clean sheet. But for now, I'm going to go with a 3-2 win for the Blues.
Okay. All right. Next up on still 7 a.m., a lot of quality games. Man United at West Ham. How is not, no disrespect to Fulham or Everton, but why is not one of these games in that Saturday marquee spot?
It's like the NFL, man. We're seeing a bunch of Jets on the prime time, a bunch of.
It's just because Americans have a hard on for Aaron Rodgers. So I'm sorry. I never liked Aaron Rodgers. No. He always rubbed me the wrong way, even before he went to this like hippie version of himself. I don't know. Like
I'm with you, man.
Hmm?
Yeah, I'm with you. But
oh, I thought you said you liked doing him. I'm like, what? It's like I didn't know you're into that life, Reese.
Pause, gentlemen. Pause. Matt, what do you got for this game?
All right. So I think Manchester United is going to get another win over this West Ham team, but I think that West Ham's going to scare him a bunch. It's only going to be 1-0.
Gerard Bowen.
And I think De Ligt's going to come out with like a mask on.
Like LeBron.
Yeah.
I got you. I think.
Like Arrow.
Bowen looked really good over the weekend. I don't think United win this game. I'm going to go with a 2-0 victory for West Ham.
Okay.
Sorry, United fans.
We'll see. All right.
I don't think West Ham are that well coached, but I just think the quality is there to scare United, as you said. So I think West Ham can do something to them.
I think what's going to happen is they're going to create some sort of either get a really early goal or some sort of penalty. I think it's going to be a skill win. I think it's going to be a skill win, it's something like Garnacho does out of nowhere.
I gotcha. Bike against Everton type stuff.
Yeah. All right. So now we go into the last game of Sunday. Big matchup. Pool at Arsenal, Jeez. Liverpool.
Huge title implication game here, guys.
What do you got? Because I'm down in the doldrums.
So I was texting Matt earlier, guys, and he advised me he was not very confident for his team this weekend. But let me tell you something. As I said for Liverpool against Chelsea, I think that was Liverpool's first big test, but I think they run into a nuclear test with Teta at home at the Emirates. I think that's a real thing, and I think you guys will find a way to at least salvage a point, and that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw at the Emirates.
And the one advantage is that both these teams have Champions League midweek.
Yeah. for sure. But I don't think that's an advantage for you guys, only because of the injuries. So it may sacrifice a little bit of fitness. But I do think Liverpool...
But we can play Saliba in the Champions League.
That's very true. Well said. Well said. Liverpool are a very deep squad, though, as well. So I think they'll be able to shift completely out and have a team... Because, guys, I know we talk about Chelsea's squad. Look at Liverpool's squad. They're second 11. You can basically see that team winning, getting top four in the Premier League. They're that good as well. So,
top six.
Hey, just look at it, though.
No, no. I say top six.
Okay, fair enough. But that's a talented team.
If all the other teams keep their starting lineups, including Liverpool, and they compete with it, I think they can make top six.
Okay, I gotcha. But still, though, like the point stands. That's a talented group.
Now, if you switch out that Liverpool team for the first team, probably top five.
Yeah, I'm with you. But Matt,
just because they'll take Liverpool's spot.
Who do you have in this game?
Liverpool 2, Arsenal 1. What do you got?
I went the 1-1 draw.
Okay.
My question to you is, which team is going to wear purple?
I think...
Because you guys are rocking the same purple colors that Liverpool had a couple years
ago. Arsenal's at home. Arsenal will play in their white and red kit.
I know.
The bottle job kit, as I've heard people call it. I think Liverpool's going to rock one of their alternative kits.
Why do you have Liverpool winning this? What's the main reasoning?
I just think that they're going to be able to field like you just said, the depth. I think the depth is going to kill us.
I gotcha.
I think if we have to go to our bench, we just don't have the tools. On attack, we're not, Jesus isn't firing. Raheem Sterling isn't looking fit. Havertz looks okay, but he can't do everything. He's trying to do three or four different roles out there with no Odegaard, no Saka. I think this is going to be, could even be worse than the Bournemouth game if Liverpool get fired. It could be there's a universe where this is like Man United Liverpool. 0, Liverpool 7.
Yeah, I gotcha. The 7-2 Liverpool result or something.
Yeah. There's a universe where that happens, where if this game's played 100 times, I guarantee that would happen one time.
I could see that. I guess my faith with you guys is it's just a resilient side, and I think what Arteta is best at is a big game in a big moment, and I think this is a big
moment.
Now,
if they're able to get through this and your scenario of a 1-1 draw happens, you get Saliba back after those games, he finally gets a rest, you play Calafiori, I don't know how we're going to do the wing back, or the
I think it'll be a Gabriel Benjamin White center back pairing.
And gotcha. Back to the old school original.
And then maybe have Timber on the right side or Tomiyasu. And then
if Tomiyasu's fit, but he had an injury setback.
Yeah,
if Tomiyasu's fit, I'd definitely see him up against Mo Salah.
Yeah. Ooh, like the good old days, man.
But we'll see. I don't know what team he's going to be able to field. I don't know if we have Saka back. If we have Odegaard and Saka back, then my heart will beat a little bit less palpitation-y, but I also just like that I have to wait till 9:30 for this game to start.
Yeah, this on a Sunday too.
Yeah,
it determines your weekend.
Yes,
that it just like
because I'm gonna be nervous up until the game goes, and then it goes, but it goes until like noon. So now I'm like, do I want to go have drinks for lunch? No, because I have to go to work in the morning.
I am excited for this game. I hope you guys are as well. Matt, do you have any stoppage time questions?
Nah, not unfortunately. I've been running a little ragged the last 2 days.
Guys, we will see you next Monday at this very time. We will hope these games have results that go to all of your ways.
Hope there's 7 games of red cards in them this week.
Exactly. Proper Barclays. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you next week.
Live long, watch some football.